Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning, Tess.
So to start off with, in your opinion, what were some of the biggest surprises in the release of these NAPLAN results this year?
I don't know about surprises in that it's more a continuation of the same. There were some significant increases in results in some areas, particularly at grades 3 and 5. In the first couple of years after we introduced NAPLAN in the sort of 2008 to 2011 period, and it's tended to mostly flatline since then. So it's not so much a surprise as a continuation of the same. And I suppose the question there is why haven't we been improving our results and what might be able to be done about it? But for the moment, yes, it's more of the same.
So you mentioned there that it's sort of beginning to flatline in the high school years. Why might that be?
No, sorry. It hasn't improved. It's flatlined at all year levels, more or less.
Oh, sorry. There we go.
But it didn't particularly improve much in the high school years, but there were some reasonably significant improvements in 3 and 5 testing results in the first couple of years after NAPLAN was introduced.
So what areas of, I guess, the core learning skills that NAPLAN does test do you think that Australian schools need to focus on now to improve these results?
I don't know that it's necessarily a question of focus. These results are, you know, complex, and it's not necessarily easy to pinpoint causes, even though quite often commentators will jump in and say, oh, it's due to this, due to that. I suspect it's probably not focus as much the question of working out how to teach these areas more effectively. I don't think that Australian schools are not focusing on literacy and numeracy. It's a question of potentially perhaps improving teacher practice in these areas further.
So obviously every student's life is different, and there are a lot of factors outside of school that do impact on students. What might some of these be, and how is this shown in the results?
Okay, look, the results confirm what we know from a great deal of other research, which is that there's a strong link between levels of achievement and your parents' level of education and your parents' category of work, so that students whose parents have a bachelor degree or higher are doing best. Students whose parents left school at year 11 or before are doing worst in terms of levels of parental education, and it basically drops down with each level in between each of those. The same for students of professional parents. They tend to do best of all, and students whose parents are not in the workforce do worst of all on average. So those types of social gradients we know from a great deal of research, and that's not just Australia, that's a worldwide issue. Having said that, and obviously in terms of other factors, Indigenous students have improved since NAPLAN was implemented in 2008, but we still have quite a long way to go there to pull up the gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous. So in terms of those sorts of results, the patterns that are found elsewhere, having said that, things like PISA show that we are not great in Australia at reducing the effects of disadvantage on students' achievement. Other similar countries like Canada do better than us. We do have a highly stratified education system, and that doesn't help.
So are NAPLAN tests and the standardised testing the best way to go about getting these results? I mean, I know there is a lot of criticism being tossed around at standardised testing at any given moment.
Okay, testing doesn't change anything. Testing tells you where the students are up to. NAPLAN probably isn't a particularly strong test for individual students, in that it's a very much a snapshot on a particular day. It doesn't collect vast amounts of data. It should be taken in conjunction with all the other local level assessment for an individual student. It's our best general understanding of where students are up to across Australia, because it is a population test that includes about 95% of students. So it gives us a reasonable idea, and it gives policymakers a reasonable idea of how students are going. In itself, it doesn't change anything. The only things that can change our policymaker actions to change how we set up and run our schools, and of course actions in individual schools to improve the quality of teaching and learning within those schools.
Now, just before I let you go, Suzanne, where does the Australian government come into this, and what steps should they be looking at taking to improve these results?
Look, Australian education is, of course, tremendously complex in how it's set up. And in the end, in terms of teaching and learning practices and so on, there's obviously a much greater responsibility in general at the state level, where schools are mostly funded, although obviously there's some federal funding as well. So it's probably as much as anything, I think, the response of the states in terms of how they develop their teachers and so on. Having said that, as I've said, we've got a very stratified education system where high SES students tend to go to school with high SES students and poor students go to school with poor SES, low SES students. And there's research that indicates that that's increased over the last 15, 20 years, that we've got increasing concentrations of students, and federal funding policy and federal actions to even out the playing field a little bit are potential ways of working to address this on a broader scale.
Well, Suzanne, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Not a problem. Nice to talk to you, Tess.